listening to Open Mic Friday on this August the 14th in the year of our Lord 2015, as we are getting ready to buy Christmas presents. I tell you, this year is just flying by. You know, when you have debts, you don't like the year flying by, but if you have items that are making money, you love to have the year flying by. So it all depends what kind of situation you're in. I'm Tom Baker, your host only here for Open Mic Friday, which means any question of a theological nature you may call in on, you'll be on the mic. The numbers here are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. We were talking about, for 2 days, the EWTN idea of the journey home, people going to the Roman Catholic Church, and we were talking about an individual who was a member of our own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, who did so. If you'd like to talk about that, don't hesitate to do so. I did receive a note from one of our listeners, and she asks about purgatory. She suggests that maybe purgatory could be understood as the valley of the shadow of death, Shades and Sheol, as the underworld. Well, the valley of the shadow of death comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death is not purgatory. That's what happens here on earth. Just put yourself in the place of Christians who are being attacked by ISIS. Wherever they turn, they could be in the valley of the shadow of death. But they need to fear no evil. Because even if they are put to death, and God takes them to be with him. And Hades and Sheol really they're both words that can refer to the place of those who died, particularly during the Old Testament times, but normally they also refer to the place of the unbeliever. The believer would go to be with Jesus. Jesus himself uses the term paradise as he speaks to the thief on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This is called the interim. It's the time between when you die and when judgment day comes. We have very little information about that. As I said earlier in the week, the thing about Lutheran theology, it has the least number of answers for the questions that people are asking. Why? Because we're bound to God's word. And that's why Dr. Robert Koons, K-O-O-N-S, left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to become a member of the Roman Catholic Church, because he did not want to be limiting his knowledge and believed that the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church was able to give more information. Now, how did that come about? We talked about a Roman Catholic scholar by the name of Newman, and he suggested that what happens is that the Holy Spirit continues to give more information about what is regarded as the seeds of doctrine in the Bible. Let me explain that. This is Roman Catholic thinking. The Bible talks about Mary. The Bible talks about her being the mother of God. They believe that through the papacy, the councils, and the magisterium of the church, that's the teaching part of the church, that the Holy Spirit has given new insights, which I consider to be new doctrines, that Mary is not only the mother of God, but as Dr. Kuhn said, it's just reasonable to assume that God would have a special place for her. Oh, really? Well, why is that? Why is that reasonable? Well, she's the mother of God. But then what's a special place they have for her? Well, it's a special place where even her body has assumed into heaven. You can pray to her. And here's the real idea. She's sinless. Now, I've never understood that. Because if Mary is sinless, and the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary, then the conception and birth of Jesus is no big miracle. Two sinless individuals. The real miracle would be the conception and birth of Mary, who would be sinless who came from two sinful human beings, her mom and her dad. I remember years ago when I was first in what's called junior college, I did a paper on this. And there was also actually a part of a Roman Catholics, now the Pope I'm sure would not agree with this, where they thought there was a whole line of sinless people that went from Adam and Eve all the way to Mary. And that's why she was sinless. Of course, there's absolutely no evidence of that, as well as the Bible contradicts it. So, to be really fair to the Roman Catholics, we wouldn't say they just invented new doctrines, but from their point of view, they expanded through the power of the Holy Spirit on the doctrines that are already in the Bible. Now, where they get the seed of purgatory is beyond me, or indulgences. But one of the things you need to be really careful about is when you take a look at contemporary Roman Catholic theology, they really try to make nice these items. I mean, nobody says a coin into the coffer rings the soul from purgatory springs. They'll say things like, well, you know, you may ask somebody to pray for you. There's nothing wrong in that, is there? And don't you think their prayers would be effective? Then why can't you ask somebody in heaven to pray for you? Well, the problem is, do you really think the people in heaven know what's going on earth? The scripture is pretty clear. Even Abraham doesn't know. So this whole concept of additional information, expanding the doctrines of the scripture. Now, one of the things they use was were the creeds, the apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian Creed. I challenge anybody to find a phrase in any of those creeds that is not backed up by a Bible verse. See, this is really different. In other words, I once did a sermon. It was a lousy sermon. It lasted 2 weeks. It was about the Athanasian Creed. And you know what the sermon did? It simply backed up every phrase of the Athanasian Creed with a Bible verse. Now, that was a really good Bible study, but it was not a sermon. It belonged in a Bible study. This is before I really became to understanding how long gospel needs to be at the point of every sermon, accusing the people in the pew and then bringing them the comfort of the gospel. So I can't find one phrase in any of the creeds that doesn't have a Bible verse. Find me a phrase in the Bible where Mary is sinless. Find me a phrase in the Bible where you can pray to her. Find me, and I just can go on all day, with a number of teachings that have no biblical background. Because, understand, the Roman Catholic Church believes the Holy Spirit continues to inspire the magisterium of the church to understand better items. All right, our phone lines, and this is Open Mic Friday, 821-0850 in St. Louis, toll free, and by the way, anybody can do this number, 1-800-730-2727. And we'll go talk to Mike. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Excellent.
Great. Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question.
Well, that's why I think you phoned.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, okay. That's just my way of getting started.
I know, Mike. I'm pulling your leg.
Where does it say in the Bible that Abraham doesn't know what's going on earth since he's you know, in the afterlife or wherever he should be?
Yes. Boy, I can't think of the verse right off the top of my head, but I will get that for you.
Well, let me ask you, is it in the New Testament? Well, obviously it'd be in the New Testament, right?
No, it's in the Old Testament.
Oh, it is in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm almost sure of that. But boy,
do you know what it's in reference to, kind of, or what the setting is?
Well, about what's going here on Earth. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Isaiah 63. For some reason, that's in my mind. Let me see here. Isaiah 63. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
The English Standard Version. But you are our father, referring to God,
uh-huh.
Though Abraham does not know us. and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. From of old is your name. So the New International Version translation, you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us.
This is chapter 63, what verse?
Verse 16.
Okay, I'm going to go look that up.
Okay, thank you very much. And anybody else can call us on that or any other subject that you might have on your mind. Isaiah 63, verse 16. Now, remember, when a Christian dies, we go into the interim. There's not much information about the interim. Martin Luther, for a while, I believe, thought that you go into a kind of a soul sleep where, have you ever done that? You go to bed at 11 at night, and the next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and you don't remember anything between 11 and 8. Some people think that's what happens during the interim. Now, if that was true, then obviously they would not know. I'm not of that mindset. I believe there is a consciousness, although you got to be careful because you don't want to use the book of Revelation to prove doctrine because it's in kind of metaphorical language. And so anytime there's a technical name between the books of the Bible where we definitely get doctrine from and those where we're very careful with, because of the a number of things. For a while, people didn't think Revelation was a book of the Bible, or Esther, because the name of God is never mentioned. So you just wonder, okay, what are you going to do with these? Well, if you look for doctrine in them, you better have from the books that you know are truly part of the Bible for sure, clearly a stated item. So, for example, in Revelation 5, the picture is Jesus returning to heaven during the ascension as a slain lamb. Well, we know that's not true, literally, because the disciples saw him ascend into heaven as a human being. Remember, he went up into the clouds and disappeared from their sight. But Revelation is making the point through poetry and metaphorical language that the reason he was worthy to take the scroll out of the right hand of God the Father on the throne and open it up and save the world is because he was slain as a lamb. So that's why you got to be careful with some books that are in what we call apocalyptic language, metaphorical language. Just have it backed up somewhere. But Isaiah 63 is pretty clear. Abraham does not know us. Israel does not acknowledge us. Now, is that because Christians who die go into a soul sleep and therefore they're unaware of anything? No, that's not my opinion. I believe you are aware. For example, they're in, I'm using Revelation here, the saints are looking forward to the day of judgment, etc. But let me make another point. Do you really want, let's say, your father and mother who hopefully are in heaven if they have died, do you really want them to know what's going on earth with you? Remember, when you get into this relationship with Jesus Christ, even during the interim, there is to be no pain, no suffering, no death, no sadness. Well, I can't imagine how human beings would be knowledgeable about what is happening to their dear ones here on earth and not be sad. I mean, some of their dear ones may fall from the faith. And they would be powerless to do anything about it. So I'm quite convinced that when Isaiah 63 verse 16 says, Abraham does not know us, but God the Father knows us, that's sufficient for me. Because the fact that God the Father knows me means he also has a relationship with me that he created through adopting me into the Holy Family. And therefore, to know me means he treats me as a child. Now, that means sometimes I get disciplined by him, you know, from the word disciple. Why? Because that's good for my old Adam to be put down. And other times, I get wonderful things from him. I mean, it's just really amazing. I went to see a shut-in, and this shut-in, it's a pretty big nursing home. And a lot of times she's difficult to find because in the morning she goes on walks and you don't know where she's at. I go up to the room, knock on the door, nobody's there. The last two times I walked into the building and immediately she was walking by. So we went up to her room and I said, boy, that was really interesting. Did God set that up? Well, certainly Satan didn't. So there are so many times that I see God's hand in my life. I did a Bible study once called Eyes of Faith. And as I talk about that, if you've got another question, don't hesitate to call me at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And what do we mean by eyes of faith? Well, when you look at reality from the foot of the cross, things really look different. For example, we've talked a lot against the abomination of homosexuality and, of course, gay marriage. So away from the foot of the cross, you could really get angry at these people, especially as they start to influence your children and move them away from God's word. But from the foot of the cross, you hear the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And therefore, you have a love for such people, and you want to reach out to them, and you want to share with them the message of long gospel, allowing the Holy Spirit to move their hearts. And I'll tell you, there's a number of homosexuals that I'm aware of who have become Christian. So you don't want to kind of fool around with those things. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk with Julie. Hi, Julie. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm the one that left the message yesterday about Sheol.
Oh, okay.
And have you ever studied Strong's Concordance?
I have a copy of Strong's Concordance, yes.
Okay. If you would look up 7585 in the Hebrew and read the entire definition of what Sheol and all of the death shades means, then you'll find at the very end, he talks about the netherworld. And the netherworld in Egypt, ancient Egypt, was about... I'm getting nervous. I've never been on the radio before.
Oh, that's fine. No, you're doing great.
It hasn't been... it was about the underworld, and we know the underworld as criminals. And the dead, we know the Lord Jesus taught, people can be dead in their trespasses and sins. And if you think about it that way, then you will kind of get an idea of where the underworld comes from. And it also is, whenever there's a truth that goes forth, the devil on the planet is the god of this world. He always turns it into a lie. And that is where I think the reason why some of the wrong conceptions in the church have come from this whole idea. Because you were talking about the Catholic Church and how sin has been let in. And it does. There are, you know, denominations down through the years who do sin creeps in. And that's where I think it comes from. So I was hoping you might read the whole definition and rethink.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question. The Strong's Concordance that I have are simply all the words in the Bible. Like you'll look up the word Jesus and it'll show you every verse. But I don't remember anywhere where they had definitions of the words in the Strong's Concordance. I can
really?
Look at it again.
Really?
Maybe it's a Strong's commentary or... Was it written by any particular individual outside of Strong?
This is the New Strong's Expanded Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. It's quite a tome.
Oh.
This one's a red letter edition. James Strong, LLD,
yes.
STD, and John R. Kohlenberger, 3.
I got my old one back in 1974, so.
Okay. I don't know when... the one I had from before this one was from a long time ago. My husband bought it when we were married. He gave it to me as a gift. It's in the 1980s, I think. This one I bought because I didn't want to tear that one up, but it was very like. And so there is a whole section in there where it gives all of the Hebrew words, and then it gives all of the definitions and meanings, and he also talks, sometimes he adds in verses where it is. For instance, thus it was thought to be the land of no return, Job 16:22-17, you know, he gives verses where it's found. So I don't know. I was hoping you might rethink it because there are wrong ideas and concepts that come into the church.
Yes.
And it does have to do with truth from Scripture, But people get the wrong idea. And David was, when he was being stalked by Saul, he was thrown to the valley of the shadow of death. But he said, I fear no evil there.
Right.
And he's a braver soul than I am, but I'm still trusting in the Lord.
Well, so. Julie, you know, you undersell yourself. You have a wonderful voice. You're excellent on the radio. And I would hope that you would phone me a little more often because you've got some good insights.
Well, I may. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you so much for calling. Yes, first-time callers, we just love to hear them. I will be taking a look at my Strong's Concordance to see what that actually says. In reality, Dr. Robert Coons, who left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to join the Roman Catholic Church, did make some very good points. And one of the points he made was that there is no doubt that some of the culture, like the Greek culture, the various ideas of gods like Neptune and stuff, some people think crept into the New Testament, and he was really opposed to that if it meant that it was changing what the New Testament said. So there could be some influence that people are thinking about, well, if this is the netherworld, and then they make up a doctrine to deal with it. So Julie made some very good points, and I will take a look. I'm almost sure my Strong's Concordance doesn't have these items, but the if you're in the St. Louis Seminary, the best library to go to for all of this would be at Concordia Seminary. It's over there right near St. Mary's Hospital on Clayton Road. There's a road there, Demun, and you just go down it through the gates, and the library is right on the left. And they allow anybody to come in there to go through the library. There are even some ways you could probably loan some books. But they would definitely have the new Strong's Concordance and a multitude of other items. So don't hesitate to do that. That's at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. And by the way, our other seminary, Concordia Theological Seminary, for those of you who are in the Fort Wayne area, they just spent millions of dollars in expanding their library. In fact, the individual who did that, Pastor Rothmeyer, was actually a field worker, which means he was a seminarian attached to my church. And he's the head librarian there who did that. And he was one who really helped me understand computers. You know, when computers first came out, I would read every manual. Now, those manuals are 300-400 pages long. And it wasn't long before I found out, like, if you go to Microsoft Word, there are about 500 commands. Most of us use around 30 of them. That's all we use. It's even worse when you get to a program like Excel or Access, where you can, oh, there are so many commands, you can do so much. But us simple folk, I use Word to, you know, make up a document, maybe email it to somebody, put it in a newsletter or something like that, but don't use near the number of commands. And so Pastor Rothmeyer really helped me. By sitting down with him for an hour or so on a program, I really saved about 12 hours reading through the manual, reading many things that I'm never going to use anyway. So if you ever get, if you're new at computers, find somebody who knows them pretty well and is willing to sit down with you and just kind of go through the basic commands that you need to use them. That's also true about theology. What are the basics of theology? I was in a elders meeting last night, and we were talking about the importance of getting the catechism across. And Pastor Karg, who's the senior pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, Missouri, had just attended a kind of a seminar at the seminary telling them how to get the people more knowledgeable about the catechism. And why is that important? It's important because that's the foundation. And then once you get the foundation down, that means you can do the basic, using the computer analogy again, the basic word commands. Then you can start going to Bible classes and getting a lot more insights, attending church, of course, listening to sermons, and even starting to read, like Julie is doing, books. Strong's Concordance, it's a big one. You can hardly carry the book. It has a lot of information. I also bought what's called the Englishman's Concordance. So if you only know English, what you do, you look up the English word, and then it tells you what Greek words, like the word love, has at least two translations, agape and philia, phileo. And so if your verse is the agape one, you can look in the Englishman's Concordance and see all the other verses that uses agape. If it says phileo, which is the city of brotherly love, it's brother, a kind of love, then you can look those up. This is really good. Somebody like Julie is really very, very good example of taking a look at other things. And, of course, you can always listen to the programs here on AM850 KFUO, the Bible studies that occur here where they allow to have people call in are great programs to do so. And, in fact, next Monday, which is our next time, we're going to be taking a look at a verse where God really criticizes his people for making up commandments that are contrary to his commandments. And we're going to talk about how, guess what? We may do that even today. I'm Tom Baker. I'm going to be preaching at Emmanuel Olivet Saturday at 5 and on Sunday morning. Until Monday then, and listen to how you might contribute to Law and Gospel. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.